Hi, Ed.
Hey, bud, welcome.
Thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just getting everything up, ready to rock and roll for our part five of the Sermon on the Mount. For those of you who are just listening or have not heard parts one, two, three, and four, I'd encourage you to do it. We've gotten tremendous response from people. The number of people who have liked it and the number of downloads increase as we go along. So it's an absolute blessing to have you, Bud, and have the insight that you bring to the Sermon on the Mount. And I look forward to what we're going to be able to do in the future, because there's so much more that we'll be able to talk about. And the good news is that people are interested, and praise God for that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. so thankful for the time that you put in to this podcast and the other things you do. I really enjoy listening to your morning offerings.
Thank you.
Actually, it's part of my commute to work. And I especially have enjoyed hearing about the different saints for each day. That's something that I don't have a lot of background in, and so it's been very refreshing for me to hear that. So,
yeah, and there have been some interesting saints of the day, and I might, maybe as time progresses, we might devote some time to talking about some of them, because they're not. We always have in our thoughts, at least I did growing up as a cradle Catholic, that saints were some people who were much holier than I was and were doing monumentally wonderful things in their lives, when in fact, the majority of them are just like you and I. And they're normal people that God has called and given an opportunity to do extraordinary things as an example for the rest of us. So I take a lot of consolation in that. Absolutely wonderful. But thank you. Thanks for the kind words.
So let's start.
I was going to open up with a prayer.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Help us today to have an open mind and an open heart. And let us be filled with the Holy Spirit so that whatever the message is that you want us to hear today, we will hear. Be with Bud and I as we try and give the best information we can on our interpretation of your word. And we ask this all in your Son's heavenly name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Bud. You want to give us a quick recap of where we've been or what you plan on doing today, since it's you're leading us.
Okay, well, here we go. Last week in part four, I did an overview of the six corrections that Jesus made. Corrections is probably not the best word. Clarifications. Let's call them clarifications that Jesus did. Related to 6 points of the law. Before he went in and stated those 6 points, he said, "Remember, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." And he went on to say that not until the least stroke of the pen or smallest letter would anything fall away from the law until it had all been fulfilled. So he then went and talked about six examples of how the current community of the Pharisees had really built such a fence, a theological fence, if you will, around parts of the law that they had lost the overarching intent of what it was meant to convey. And he did this by saying, "You have heard," and then following that with the statement, "But I say." That form of teaching was very common in Jesus' day. A rabbi would read a portion of scripture, and then he would, from Isaiah or Deuteronomy, whatever it might be, and then he would say, "But I say," and he would expound on it in much the same way that in our common preaching that we hear, the priest will share a section of scripture from the daily reading, and then he'll comment on that. So Jesus was working in a pattern that was familiar to his listeners. What I think is really fascinating is when we get to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, they say they were astounded because he spoke as someone who had authority. And so what I thought we'd do today, I'm still praying about this. I don't know that I'm going to spend time going into each individual one of these laws, but I just want to use one today. And my goal is to show some examples, and one in particular, of how Scripture can help fulfill and help us to see the continuity between what Jesus said and, in this case, what one of the apostles said on the same topic.
Sounds great.
So I'm going to read Matthew 5, and I'm going to start at verse 33, and I'm going to go to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out a vow you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven or by its throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. So let's try to unpack this a little bit. It was common in those days, and in a certain respect it's common now, to swear by something that was of authority. In this case, I swear this to you, and I am also swearing to God. We see this when someone is giving witness at a court case. They put their hand on the Bible, and what do they say? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So it was a common occurrence then. It's a common occurrence now. But what is interesting is that Jesus draws a correlation, and he says, it's not necessarily good for you to swear an oath to God because you shouldn't have to. Ed, you have friends and people that you know that you trust them. If they tell you they're going to do something, they do it.
Absolutely.
In the same way, I'm sure there are some people in your lives that if they told you the sun was shining or the sky was up above, you'd feel the urge to look out the window and make sure that it was there.
And it wouldn't matter how many people or how many things they swore on, I still would question whether or not it was accurate.
Exactly.
Yep.
So what Jesus is really advocating here is that for us to live a life of integrity. If we're living a life of integrity, then it really doesn't matter what we swear on. The old saying, my word is my bond, or my word is my oath. See, that conveys that I am taking the stand based on my own character. But why would Jesus say that? He's offered us a concern, and he says don't want you to swear by Jerusalem or by the earth, because that's God's footstool. You know, let's take a look. And Ed, I don't know if you want to turn there with me. I'm going to James chapter 3.
Okay. I'm with you.
And James in the chapter 3, and I'm going to read a portion of this, so I'll get started here. And starting in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers or sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes is speaking, who's Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. So here we're seeing that James is making a declarative statement. First of all, you should be confident in what you're teaching before you teach it, because you're going to be held, we learn from other sections of scripture, we're going to be held to a higher standard.
Right.
But listen to what he says. Verse 3. If we put bits into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Ed, you live on the coast of Maine. You've seen sailboats come in and out of the harbor all the time. You can walk down to the water and you can see boats moving, tremendously large vessels. And that's true whether it's an ocean liner or it's a little skiff. That little rudder on the end of the boat totally directs its path. I love the Bible for its use of illustrations. It makes it so much easier for us to really see what's going on.
Absolutely.
But here is where we're going to start to see a correlation between what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and what James says. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on the fires of hell. Now, those are strong words.
No, certainly are.
James is pointing out that the power of our mouth can direct the direction of our entire body. See, this
and
is...
Go in ahead. Today's world, I'm sorry, Bud, but in today's world, that is so evident when you look at the vitriol that come out of people's mouths and the anger and hurt and distrust that it causes in other people. And we always question, what does someone mean by what they say? Well, it would be wonderful if their yes meant yes and their no meant no, and we understood exactly what they were saying, if they were people of integrity, as opposed to that which we are more often than not confronted with. And I'm not taking a political position here, just so I want to be very clear. But, you know, it happens to be something that's very important to me. You're a faithful Catholic, yet, and you profess, individuals profess their belief in the Catholic faith, yet they turn around and say, but it's okay for you to kill babies in mother's wombs. Right. You can't be a faithful Catholic and disagree with the basic tenet, which is the only judge of life and the only person who gives and takes away life is God. And so it's a controversial issue. And every time I bring it up, I actually end up being sorry that I did bring it up. But it's actually one of those things that the Holy Spirit has some reason put on my heart again today to talk about. It's just that inconsistency drives me crazy. It's like you're saying that, you know, I'm a Catholic, but I don't believe Mary is the mother of God. What? That doesn't even make any sense to me. I don't see how you can say that. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit made me say it. I'm blaming it on him.
Okay. I think we need to guard the words that have come out of our mouth. How many times has somebody said something that's particularly hurtful? And if it's in a group, a lot of people will look and stare at them. And then their response is, well, I was just kidding.
Right, right.
Right. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, if you call a brother a fool?
Right.
Yeah. So you're right, Ed. There are things that we need to take stands on. There are things that we need to own and believe. But the day-to-day interaction that we have with people really, and we've used this, I think, on two of the other podcasts, St. Francis, who said, you know, if share the gospel with everyone, and if you have to, use words.
Right.
If we read the rest of this section, it is so clear that we need to be careful of what we say. And it's the old adage, you have two ears, one mouth, right? So you should use your ears twice as often as you use your mouth. But listen to this warning. This is starting again in James at verse 9, chapter 3. With it we bless the Lord our and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. That's powerful.
Oh, yeah, and I've done that.
Well, yeah, you've shared your never-ending saga with the woman who cuts you off as you're driving to down the road.
Well, that's because, yeah, it's I'm working on it.
but you see how just owning it, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for us to be perfect. He wants us to strive to be better, but he's looking for us to own the struggle.
Right.
To own the struggle. So let's go a little bit further here. From out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does the spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brother or sister, yield olives or grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh.
What great examples.
And it's an ongoing struggle for us to control the words that come out of our mouth. For me, it's difficult. In my interaction with people at work, I find that I need to listen more and talk less. My opinion may not be the most important thing that needs to be shared in the room. And more importantly, boy, is gossip a problem in the world that we live in?
Boy, isn't it though?
Somebody does something and then they tell somebody and then somebody else tells somebody else and pretty soon everybody knows. It's the telephone game. You remember the telephone game where you say something to one person, the next person says it to the next person, then you get to the end and you find out how different the message has become.
Completely different, yep.
And we do that. We do that with our own conversation. What would happen if instead of talking about other people, we spent time praying for other people?
Amen.
What would happen instead of spending time telling people our opinion if we were just content to listen to theirs?
How many times in the Bible don't we read where Jesus talks about going to pray before a major decision or praying about something? He's in constant prayer, but every time he feels the need to really be involved. And now this is the Son of God we're talking about, still feels the need to go to his Father and ask for guidance on what he should do. You know, we were talking this morning in our Bible study about in Luke how before he chose the apostles, he prayed about it. You know, and before in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was going through his agony, he went and prayed about it. And you're absolutely right. How much more impressive would this world be? And it already is impressive. But how much more impressive would it be if we spent that more time in prayer and praying for others as opposed to talking about them? Good point. Very good point.
And to show the cohesiveness of Scripture, let's now jump in James still, but let's go to chapter 5 and verse 12. Ed, have you got that one?
I do.
Why don't you read that one?
But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, that you may not fall under condemnation.
That last part sound familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. which is good. It just strikes me that, when people find such commonality, they go, oh, these guys were only copying off each other. It only goes for me. What the message I get from this is they were hearing plainly from Jesus the same thing. It wasn't open to interpretation. Jesus was very clear what he was saying. His yes meant yes. His no meant no. And what he was describing to the apostles was exactly what he wanted people to hear. So when you find that repetition, it wasn't that James said, oh, let me see what Matthew wrote. Okay, I'm going to write what Matthew wrote. I don't know because I wasn't there, obviously. I don't think that they all collaborated as they wrote these. But I think it goes to the point, which is what you're trying to make here with our discussion on this topic, is there was no ambiguity with Jesus. There was none.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
Absolutely. Amen.
But it does show that there's a harmony to Scripture. I think one of the best ways to... When you read something in Scripture, it's such a good tool to have a good study Bible. Part of the reason why I'm struggling in reading this today is because I'm in the HarperCollins Study Bible. It's the one I brought with me today.
Yep.
And my preferred translation is the NIV, and so I've read certain portions of Scripture enough so that it's familiar to me when I read it. But a good study Bible just gives you the ability to go and see other portions of Scripture that relate to the same topic, and or to give you some historical background to what was happening, or to have you be able to look at a map and see where things are and how it relates to when it says Jesus went from here to here. You've got an idea of what it took to get there. But for me, I find tremendous comfort when I see a unity within the Scriptures. And when I find a verse and it seems that it's telling me to do one thing, I think it's really wise to go and look for confirmation for that in other Scriptures. And I will also tell you, here's some homework for anybody that wants to do it. I will tell you there are several other passages in James that relate back to the Sermon on the Mount. And some of them are the same six things that we were talking about, these six clarifications that Jesus made in the law.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
So you'll have to go and see which ones and then flip back and forth and find that comparison for yourself, because it just makes the study so much
It is so very comforting to be able to find that similarity and that consistency, and just helps to reinforce that that what we believe in the Scripture and what we're told in the Scripture is what Jesus said and is a good roadmap for the way we should be living our life. But it's also very difficult to do.
So let's talk about application for our time that we've had together, because I'm coming up on 30 minutes. Boy, this time goes quick.
It does go, doesn't it?
Try today, when you're having a conversation with someone, listen to what they're saying, and at the end, see if you can say yes or no. Try to see if there are opportunities when you can limit your response to yes or no.
Wow. Okay. Well, that'd be difficult.
And the second one is lay aside the opportunity to talk about someone else who isn't present in the room.
And not to talk about myself.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I think we spend too much time talking about ourselves, but I think it's far more destructive, and we see the tongue becoming a tool of the devil when I'm saying, well, did you know what Ed did last night?
Right.
Or, you know, I didn't see Ed do this, but I heard from somebody else that Ed was,
Absolutely.
So if we said, Lord, today, help me to shorten my response. Let me try to say yes or no. And help me not to gossip about other people. You know, the primary reason why we gossip, or in my opinion, the two primary ones are, first, to win favor with the person that we're talking to, because now we've shared something with them. But the other one is to make ourselves look better.
Yeah.
And if we're new in Christ, we don't have to be any better than that.
Absolutely right, because there's the only person that we need to impress is not impressed by stuff like that.
Yeah, fortunately, the only person we need to impress already loves us unconditionally.
Amen to that.
So, Ed, thanks for being flexible with us just focusing on one of the six laws that Jesus clarified. I think next week we're going to do another one.
I like this, actually, the way this turned out. Going in depth a little bit more, as opposed to just being more broad-based on all of it. I think it's been helpful for me, and I see we have a couple people who are listening. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, ICLNWH, for joining us. And if you have any comments, please feel free to throw some comments in the chat right now. Anything you want us to pray for, we'd be happy to do that. We'll be doing this, Bud, probably next Wednesday again, another live podcast if you're available. Or
I've got a travel schedule I have a travel schedule for the next 2 weeks, but I'm sure going to try to work this out so we can still do this. I figure if we can try to keep it about the same time, it'll, for those people that do want to listen live, it'll be easier for them to be a part of what we're doing. So
it'd be wonderful. Yeah, no, this is great. And, you know, we'll continue on till we finish with the Sermon on the Mount. And then there's a plethora of other items that we can discuss from the Bible that hopefully I'll be able to lean on your expertise on and get your opinion, and we'll share it as we move forward.
And let's work today to say that no unkind word will come out of our mouth today.
Amen. Boy, that would be nice.
Why don't you pray, Ed, and we'll all be on our way.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for filling our hearts with your word. Help us to clearly understand. And Lord, today, help us to love like we've never loved before. And let us show that love by controlling our tongue, controlling our words, and letting our yes mean yes and our no mean no, and having all of what we say come directly from the love that you encouraged us for each other and for you. We ask this all in your heavenly name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Bud. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, ICLNWH. And we'll see you all again soon. God bless.
God bless.